Today, we speak to the leader of an organization that has received more than $250 million voluntarily from the nation's leading distillers to fight drunk driving and underage drinking and promote responsible decisions about beverage alcohol. Stay tuned as we learn about their dedication to advocacy.
Participate, engage, speak out, use your voice to be an effective advocate. The Voices in Advocacy podcast examines the diverse landscape of advocacy, exploring the ins and outs of building influence, driving change, and creating champion advocates. It's now time for the Voices in Advocacy podcast with your host, Roger Rickard.
Welcome to the Voices in Advocacy podcast, and I hope you're enjoying season five. I'm Roger Rickard, president and founder of Voices in Advocacy, where we work with organizations to inspire, educate, engage, and activate your supporters by turning them into effective, influential advocates. And this is the podcast dedicated to the art of advocacy. It is for people that work and engage in advocacy efforts for their organizations, be they corporations, associations, trade organizations, and nonprofit cause groups. Now, let's get started. On today's show, we speak with Chris Swanger, the president and CEO of both the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States and Responsibility.org. Now, Chris has over 25 years of experience in the public and private sector, and with the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States, is the leading voice for distilled spirits in the U.S. market and serves as the industry's advocate in state capitals, the nation's capital, and foreign capitals around the globe. Chris focuses on breaking down the traditional barriers that exist between corporations, NGOs, those non-government organizations, and activist groups by facilitating consensus-based outcomes which are deliverable, actionable, and measurable. He is a native Texan with a degree from Lubbock and Texas Tech University and lives in McLean, Virginia with his wife and two sons. And finally, I have something in common with Chris, and that is our favorite adult beverage, bourbon on the rocks. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome Chris Swanger to today's show. Chris, hello and welcome.
Hi, Roger. Thank you for having me. And it's a privilege to be with you. And thank you for your leadership on advocacy and spreading the word on the important role any sector, any industry needs to do to make sure their voices are heard with policymakers around the United States and state capitals and around the world, actually.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your kind words. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about, tell our listeners, you serve as the president and CEO of the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States. So specifically, what is your mission with the organization?
Great. Well, listen, it is a privilege for me to serve in this leadership role on behalf of the distilled spirits industry. And I have two primary responsibilities. First, as you mentioned, is to make sure, and it's easy, that our industry is really on the front foot of advocating responsibility as it relates to those who choose to enjoy beverage alcohol, obviously those over the legal drinking age. But my other role is to be an advocate for our great industry that contributes mightily in jobs, the hospitality industry around the country, tourism, and raising money for the federal government because it's a big revenue stream, beverage alcohol excise taxes. So my job is twofold, to be an advocate for the industry's commitment to responsibility and push forward on legislation to ensure that we eliminate drunk driving and eliminate underage drinking and promote responsibility, but at the same time, be a vivacious advocate for this great industry and what it brings. Distilled spirits has played an integral role in the history of this great country, starting with George Washington and beyond, And there's a lot of pride and a lot of heritage, and I had the privilege to have a role in that.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the fact that good old George, I think he was a whiskey distiller, if I'm not mistaken. But you also brought up with something I think is really important that general public has to get their arms around with organizations like yours. You support the communities in which your members have their businesses in. You support jobs. You mentioned hospitality and tourism. And support for the local farmers as well.
100%.
Yeah. So you help create this circle, if you will, that really helps support these communities and move them forward. Now, I know you have pressing issues. Every organization does. What are two or three of maybe the most important issues that are facing distillers today?
Many. I mean, beverage alcohol is regulated by the states, obviously. So that's number one. Let me just do a call out. It also has a big impact on bars, restaurants, taverns, package stores, and they play a vital role in the economy as well, in the hospitality industry, including the many, many distilleries around the country now. So, look, we have international trade issues like tariffs that we're worried about. There have been recent events where there's been tariffs imposed on American whiskey related to trade disputes between the United States and the EU, the European Union. We always have battles to prevent tax increases. The federal and state taxes on distilled spirits are extraordinarily high, to the point of being punitive for consumers. And sometimes governments have a tendency to look for an easy way to raise money. And so we battle that out. And also to advocate to modernize the marketplace for distilled spirits. We want to make sure that consumers, responsible consumers, can access these great products that are in the marketplace coming from distilleries really all around the world. Just as easily as they can enjoy a great wine product or a great beer as well. But all of it has to be guided by our commitment to responsibility and education and showcasing the best of the industry with our farmers and all of the above.
You know, it's always interesting that an easy way for elected officials to raise money and not call it raising taxes is to impose new taxes on different products and services that are out there, rather than saying it's going to be a direct tax on everybody. It's a usage tax that they
they called a sin tax way back in the day.
Absolutely,
it's really a tax on hospitality, and it's a tax on jobs, and it's a tax on conviviality, people getting together with friends and family, and having a great dinner and having a cocktail. And the taxes on distilled spirits really are at the point of diminishing returns. So we're big advocates of advocating against tax increases. And it's important. It's important for the vibrancy of the American economy.
Yeah, it almost should be that they have to, and maybe you disagree with this, but let me throw it out there. It's almost like I think that there should be a warning on the price. You know, there's a tax of X, Y, and Z. I mean, when you look at, let's say, gasoline taxes, you know, in some states, it's 60 cents a gallon of gas. And, you know, and people scream and yell about inflation and everything else. And they got to look at the amount of taxes that are coming out of something like that. I would imagine it would shock people if they knew the amount of tax that's paid, let's say, on a bottle of whiskey or vodka.
Well over 50% of the price of a bottle of American whiskey, homegrown here, is state, local, federal taxes. We generate $7.5 billion in federal taxes to the federal coffers. And those tax increases have a trickle effect to the farmer, to the consumer, obviously, to the restaurant owner, to the tavern owner, to the distributor, and all of the above. So it's important that we advocate and spread the word on the impact of punitive tax rates.
Boy, couldn't agree more with that. So you recently, I think it was last month, if I'm not mistaken, held a legislative fly-in with a unique twist at the end of the day. So tell us about the fly-in and kind of the uniqueness at the end.
Well, we had a great fly-in where distillers from around the country came in to meet with their members of Congress, really to talk about their personal plights of building, sustaining small businesses, precious, beautiful distilleries in communities all around the world. A sidebar, about 20 years ago, there were maybe 60 distilleries in the United States. Today, there's over 2,600 distilleries. Small, beautiful distilleries popping up. Mom and dad, small businesses creating wonderful stories and bringing great product to the marketplace. So our fly-in, our advocates flew in and met with their members of Congress to help them understand the role of their distillery and the role of this great industry plays in contributing to the vibrancy of the American economy and help educate them on issues that matter for our industry.
And then at the end of the day, didn't you have them come over to your building?
We did. We had a great event. We had a great event. Discus has turned 50 years, and we had a great event at our new office space. Please come visit. Really at the foot of Capitol Hill. We had members of Congress really learning about the industry, partaking, those who wanted to partake and have a nip and have a try of a cocktail. We had a great mixologist toasting, and it was just a great enriched time to showcase the best of our industry and our commitments to the American economy, job creation, and of course, responsibility as well.
I wish people could see my face because I'm smiling, because at the end of the day, you have your cocktail caucus bar open.
That's it.
And when you had those mixologists come in, they created specialty drinks. And I love the name of one of them. It was called the Spirited Advocate.
Absolutely. And if you'd like, Roger, I can talk about that. In addition to that, we had a great mocktail too. Look, this industry recognizes and promotes responsibility. And part of that is ensuring that you don't have to drink alcohol. It's for those who choose to enjoy it and for those who not. And there are great mocktails in the marketplace as well. But we are the Distilled Spirits Council. And look, the advocacy game, and you know this very, very well, is to win share of mind. Policymakers around the country have to navigate thousands and thousands of issues within their respective districts and so forth. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in, but you've got to advocate for share of mind. And obviously, many of our great member companies advocate for share of stomach too, because everybody wants to try that special distilled spirits product. But one of the ways that we do that is about 3 years ago, we launched a platform called Spirits United, and it's our grassroots platform. And we've got over 60 plus thousand people that can get engaged. So when we work on a policy issue, whether on a state level, international level, or local level, or federal level, we call out to those a part of Spirits United. Now, of course, I'm going to say www.spiritsunited.org, and you will hear about how awesome this industry is. Check it out, sign up. And when we need to advocate, it's not only our staple of lobbyists. We're privileged to have advocates in the lobbying community, but lawmakers need to hear from their constituents, and the voice of the industry needs to be heard. And our grassroots platform, Spirits United, is a way to do that.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I had that down as something I was going to ask you later on in that. But I'm glad you really brought it up, because it's not just the people that maybe economically are directly impacted by this, but it's consumers that have the right to be with them. The distributors, the retail, anybody that has any kind of an interest in distilled spirits can be a part of the Spirits United.
Millions of great connoisseurs of distilled spirits consumers, and we need them to be advocates. Look, advocacy is a team sport, and part of the trick is to get focus and galvanize everybody that has an invested interest to make sure that their voice is heard with policymakers.
Perfect. So with that, let's roll over a little bit, because I am very intrigued, and I think the audience will be, you as the leader of responsibility.org, it's got a great core mission. I think that there are three main kind of pillars of that core mission. What are those?
Responsibility.org's been around since 1991, so 31 years of age. And it was really a commitment by the industry to really play a leading role to eliminate underage drinking, number one, eliminate drunk and impaired driving, number two. And then for those who choose to drink alcohol, to understand what their obligations should be, and certainly enjoying the product and savoring the product, but do so responsibly. Look, alcohol's a part of our nation's communities, and it has been for quite some time. The America has gone through a dreaded experiment with prohibition and so forth. But we've all lived life and have had circumstances where a brother or sister, mom and dad, or an uncle, or a friend overserves himself. And, you know, tragically, bad things happen when alcohol is abused. So this is a community effort. Part of the magic of responsibility.org is that it is funded by the nation's leading distillers, but it is truly committed. And part of the magic of that is partnering with very credible third-party actors. That can be great American groups like, it's sad, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Right.
That they are a victims-based organization. And sadly, members of MAD are victims of drunk driving fatalities. It's the most preventable crime that we know. And we've got to do everything we can to prevent drunk driving fatalities and crashes, and keep those that do drunk driving off our nation's roads. So we work with third parties, many, whether it's schools, education platforms, on our efforts to prevent underage drinking, or the traffic safety community to prevent drunk driving and pass legislation to make sure that government is doing the right thing to promote responsible consumption of alcohol and prevent abuse.
Well, I love the word responsibility as far as responsibility.org, because we're really what you are, it's corporate social responsibility. It's not only the distillers, and particularly the 2,600 that are here, but it's some of the biggest brands that are in the entire industry that are all contributing to this. And that makes it an incredibly powerful form of advocacy.
Fully committed, fully, fully, fully committed. And look, responsibility, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, but the more progress we make in preventing underage drinking, preventing drunk driving, saving lives, promoting responsibility, that enables this industry to be long-term and sustainable and profitable. It's part of it. And the two can go hand in hand and are complementary. So it is, I'm proud to say, it is really part of the DNA of the industry. You know, we've all lived and, you know, had experiences and have learned. And the more progress we can make in those areas will ensure that this industry is sustainable. The same applies to, you know, commitment to sustainability as it relates to the environment, right? So we are fully committed. And again, that's a team effort, right? You got to practice what you preach. You got to lead by example, and you got to partner with different advocates and different third-party stakeholders to make progress in those important areas.
And you talked about tying it together with MAD as well as SAD. So how does the storytelling fit into this advocacy work?
Storytelling is critical because you need to share why a particular policy is going to have a direct impact on the livelihood of an individual. And that comes with stories. Look, George Washington, our nation's first president, was a distiller. There is an awesome story behind that. For the 2,600 distilleries in the United States, there is an awesome story. For a policy issue that is critical to the industry, there's a story behind that that has an impact on lives, an impact on jobs in this industry. So storytelling is a critical component to that. There's a storytelling moment as it relates to responsibility as well. So that brings these policy issues to life, and it helps resonate with policymakers that are navigating a lot.
So with that, that makes me think a little bit about the future. And what do you think are going to be the biggest challenges facing your industry, let's say 5 or 10 years down the road?
Well, obviously, we continue to need to make progress on eliminating underage drinking. We've seen an uptick in drunk driving, sadly, over the last couple of years, which is alarming. So we're tripling down on that commitment. Making sure, look, our industry has had great success. Consumers are gravitating to distilled spirits and cocktails. And it's a very, very exciting time because our member companies are bringing great innovation, storytelling, products, and great products to the marketplace that consumers are gravitating to. So we've had a lot of growth. Certainly, there are 1,001 challenges in the policy arena that we got to keep advocating for. But we always need to be guided by our commitment to responsibility, making sure that consumers make smart choices, and at the end of the day, make sure that the Distilled Spirits Council and responsibility.org both are winning the day and share a mind with our consumers and policymakers. Why it's important for our consumers is because we want our consumers to embrace all the commitments to responsibility, obviously, but we also want them to be advocates for our industry.
So, Chris, why do you think there's been an uptick in some of the drunk driving? Do you think that it is related to the pandemic? Is it related to better enforcement? Or where would you go with that?
It's complex, but certainly the pandemic, people were driving much faster on the highways, which was alarming because if you remember the early days, you could zoom down a highway because there was no traffic, right? Impact on law enforcement, we've seen and heard that there's limited resources by law enforcement. We're big advocates of ignition interlocks for first-time offenders. You know, if you make a mistake, we certainly believe you should have an ignition interlock on your car for a time being. Impaired driving, the mix of alcohol and drugs as cannabis gets legalized in the states, people will do both, and that is a bad recipe. And look, innocent lives are impacted, including the lives of someone who makes a really, really horrible, horrible choice. So we've got to double down. We've got to look after each other, right? Your judgment is impaired when you have a couple of cocktails, if you're not careful, right? And we got to look after each other and make sure that people are making good decisions and be good brothers and sisters and friends and make sure that an individual gets home. Look, with technology and Uber and Lyft and all of the above, there is no reason that drunk driving still exists today. But time and time again, you'll hear stories in a small town of something terrible happening. And we all have to double down to prevent that.
I totally agree with everything that you said there. Do you have to recruit your members to be advocates?
The more the merrier. So please, those in the distilled spirits industry, check out Spirits United, www.spiritsunited.org. But those in the industry, we've got a great partnership membership program. We've got a great membership program, and we try to deliver a lot of value back to our membership in all forms. And please check out the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States and responsibility.org. The more, the merrier. Advocacy is a team effort, and we need all the help that we can get.
I love the way that you're selling it. I absolutely agree with it. And that's what you got to do. You got to throw it out there, and you got to keep repeating it for people. how do you prepare that advocacy network for success?
Keep them informed, keep them engaged, keep them enriched about what's awesome about this industry and the jobs that it provides, and just fascinated. And what's fun about representing the distilled spirits industry is there are awesome heritage, history, stories to tell, and of course, great products, whether it's vodka, tequila, Scotch whiskey, Irish whiskey, cognac, rum, you name it. And of course, American whiskey, Tennessee whiskey, and bourbon. There are stories in communities, not only in every community in the United States about these great products, but also around the world, obviously.
I can absolutely see the passion that you bring to your job and supporting your people in this. What is the first word that comes to mind when you think of the word advocacy?
Team, T-E-A-M. It's like being on a, Roger, you've got a baseball history, right? It's a team effort. I paused for a second because I was like, it's a team sport, teamwork, but team. At the end of the day, it takes a community. And that's why it's so critical. Part of Discuses and responsibility.org's responsibilities to inspire a team, an army, a community to be advocates for the betterment of this industry.
To defend and protect it as well.
100%.
Yeah. Just a couple of quick questions for you here as we close this out. What are the biggest rewards in your job?
I think, look, I am privileged. I have a great team at Discus and Responsibility.org. So, and certainly in our efforts on responsibility, that is leaving a mark for the betterment in communities around the country. It is a real privilege. And I lead with that, even though I'm the leading advocate for the industry. You can do both. So that inspires me every day. And then the great distillers and the jobs and the happiness that we spread around communities. Conviviality is a great word. It's bringing people together. And, you know, in this world of political divide that we live in, there's Republican Party, there's Democrats, there's conservatives and progressives and liberals and environmentalists. We're the cocktail party, and we want everybody to come together. It doesn't matter what your political leanings are, and get together and have a cocktail and build bridges in communities around the country and state capitals around the country on Capitol Hill.
I love the cocktail party. I must share with you, when I was in college, being a political junkie, I had a t-shirt that said, I support the two-party system, one on Friday and one on Saturday.
So, I love that. Cocktail party.
Hey, cocktail parties. Absolutely. What's the best professional tip you've ever received in your career?
Be true to yourself. Put your values, live your values, and just be in a position to contribute back, right? If you just do your level best with a lot of passion and obviously with a right balance of values and commitment to the organization, whatever organization you work for, good things will happen to you professionally, ambitious-wise, and all of the above. So be true to yourself and your values and contribute back, and good things will come in return.
Anything you want to add?
Just everybody, thank you. And thank you, Roger, for what you do, spreading the word on advocacy. It's really, really critical. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in, spread the word and have a voice. And this industry is a great industry that contributes mightily to the betterment of the nation. And obviously, what I do is advocate. Check out Spirits United, and recognize that this industry has a lot to contribute and is committed, and we advocate, and that's critical.
And I also suggest you go to responsibility.org and see the great work that they do, the great resources that they have available, and how they're working on their three core missions to help eliminate underage drinking, eliminate drunk and impaired driving, and make sure us adults are responsible in our action when it comes to dealing with alcohol and drugs. That's a wrap of today's fantastic conversation with Chris Swanger, President and CEO of the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States, as well as responsibility.org. Thank you, Chris, for being on the show today, and all the best in your advocacy efforts.
Thank you, Roger. Good fun. Thank you.
Let's face it, today's advocacy arena is just plain noisy. Organizations are stretched. You need every advantage to make sure your issue gets the attention it deserves and your voice heard. The RAP Index is the best way to do just that, by finding your stakeholders' relationships and engagement power. Get past the noise. Know who your people know. Go to rapindex.com. That's rapindex.com, and tell them Roger sent you for a special offer. If you like today's podcast, head over to where you find your podcasts and subscribe to the Voices in Advocacy podcast. A big thank you to today's guest. I appreciate your time and the unwavering passion for advocacy you have. Well, that's it for this episode of Voices in Advocacy. Remember, you have the power to be an effective, influential advocate. Now go out and make it a better world.
We hope you enjoyed today's Voices in Advocacy podcast and look forward to you joining us again next week. To learn more about Voices in Advocacy, go to our website, voicesinadvocacy.com.